Item 9 from Corporation Counsel recommending payment in the amount of $25,000 to Barbara Marinoff and her attorneys in settlement of Barbara Marinoff et al. V. Milwaukee County Mutual Insurance Corporation et al. Milwaukee County, case number 11CV012468.
Attorney Grady.
I think we can at least start with this in open session, and depending on how the discussion goes, maybe we won't have to go into closed session.
Very good.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, supervisors. James Carroll of Milwaukee County Corporation Counsel.
Thank you.
My apologies. You obviously have the documentation on this matter in front of you. I would assume you've reviewed it. I think that it's relatively straightforward personal injury matter in which the county has, and our office and the insurer have weighed the pros and cons of proceeding to trial and decided that this is a fair resolution of the matter. So if you'd like to discuss any further specifics, I'm certainly open to doing so.
Supervisor Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Wisconsin County Mutual Insurance Corporation Claims Advisory Committee passed what was in front of it last week regarding this item.
Supervisor Weisen.
Thank you. I agree with the settlement and things like that, but I just wanted to point out that this is part of that the risk management process, and that the constant attacks on and the butchering of our risk management department through our budget process and eliminating people, you know, it's sort of like, you know, pay me now or pay me later, that if we embarked on some more of these efforts to really fix these things and to really, you know, develop the risk management office so that we could limit these lawsuits on these things. I mean, we just simple things that we don't do on some of the driver training, the safety stuff, yet we then come and we approve settlement after settlement because somebody got in an accident or somebody, you know, fell. There's a lot of things that we could do proactively that we don't do because they don't want to fund one or two positions in the budget. And for what we pay out in all these different insurance claims, it would be much better if we address these things on the front end so somebody doesn't have to fall and break their leg before we actually do something about it.
Supervisor Borkowski.
I almost can't believe I'm asking this, but I mean, so has the zoo fixed this depression here? It's my understanding that it's been like this for a couple of years. So we have this injury. Is it taken care of now?
Supervisor, my understanding is it has not been repaired. It is going to be. I spoke with somebody at the zoo. Mr. Grady mentioned that this was a concern raised previously, and that it's going to be repaired when the weather is more appropriate for doing that sort of work at the zoo.
Okay. Sure. They've marked it off or something. Attorney Grady.
Two independent points. On the last question, I'm not sure whether this is part of the zoo's consideration, but it is a legal issue when you repair something like this while a lawsuit is pending, because that fact of repair can then be used in the lawsuit against you. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not saying that that's what happened here. We made a conscious decision not to repair it. I'm not trying to suggest that. But there may be, in fact, times where that would happen. I think this was just something that the zoo has just gotten to it or is going to get to it this next coming season. On the other point I just wanted to raise on Supervisor Weishan's comment, I don't know how many of the supervisors know this, but I just wanted to let you know that the county has recently hired a new risk manager. Her name is Amy Pahacek. She appears to be extremely well qualified, and she's obviously getting her feet under her now and getting familiar with things. But I'm hopeful that her hire will, in part, not in total, address some of Supervisor Weishan's concerns. It won't address everything, obviously. Okay.
Supervisor Staskunas, and then we'll return to Borkowski.
Yeah, I think I was on Supervisor Borkowski's wavelength here, which is, you know, if it existed for 2 years prior to the fall, I mean, why wasn't it fixed? I mean, who's responsible for getting it fixed? Is there some way we can address some of these questions to the zoo? I would sort of be curious to, you know, we're at the back end of all of these things. We're always cleaning up the mess here with the settlements, but I think maybe this is at least a good opportunity to address, you know, somebody at the front end and ask, why wasn't it fixed? You were aware of it apparently for 2 years, and let them know that their failure to address this has now cost the county $25,000. Is there something we can do along those lines?
Mr. Chairman, a couple comments. First of all, this is, as I understand it, and Jim can correct me if I'm wrong, not like a piece of broken pavement or something that has over time worn away. This is a spot that's near a sidewalk and right next to a fire hydrant. And at the bottom of this depression, as I understand it, is sort of a valve opening into the ground related to that fire hydrant. And so then there was, at some point, some repaving, re-asphalting that occurred in and around this area. And the asphalting raised the level of the asphalting to the level of the sidewalk next to it, but the valve was lower. They didn't want to cover the valve with the asphalt. So now we've got a depression where the valve is and asphalt raised around it. And I think people just didn't consciously think of it, or maybe they felt they didn't have any choice about how to address that when it was re-asphalted. And so Jim has talked to the zoo, and they are going to talk to the city who owns the hydrant to see if we can bring the valve up to the level of the asphalt to cure that issue. And so it's not like your normal failure of maintenance kind of project.
That, just for the record, that is correct, as Mr. Grady explained it, as far as the factual background of this particular issue.
So the zoo knew that there was that depression there, but it never occurred to them that that was a potential issue.
Obviously, Supervisor, I can't speak for what the zoo thought or knew prior to this. I guess that would be an assumption that you're making, but... I mean, I guess when we talk about notice in a situation like this, the zoo knew that the concrete was the way that it was, for lack of a better explanation. That wasn't very artfully stated. But the point is, they knew it was that way. Whether somebody at the zoo ever drew a conclusion that this was possibly a concern, I don't know, and this goes back, you know, several years now. So.
This is because when I read this, I mean, a slip and fall and a trip and fall case, those are hard for the plaintiff. I mean, they have to show that there was something to trip on or slip on, and so I mean, I read this, I thought, well, okay, we knew about it for 2 years and didn't fix it. That, you know, then the settlement seems reasonable, but.
Attorney Gray.
Just to the nature of the settlement is. We are not, when we bring these settlements to you, we're not paying what we consider to be the full value of this lawsuit. If this went to trial, this case, and we are found liable,
right,
and the plaintiff was not found negligent, this case has a value to more than $25,000 because there's $16,000 in medical expenses. So, you know, it's likely the damages would be awarded more than that. But the plaintiff is taking into account their risk in going to trial and saying that maybe they might be found more negligent than not. As an example, I will give you, in fact, yesterday, Colleen Foley in our office received a jury verdict after a little over a week of trial on a trip and fall at the zoo. It was a trip and fall over an electrical cord that had been placed across the sidewalk by a band who had been hired by Pro Healthcare, who was running an event at the zoo. And there was a serious injury. The jury eventually awarded $580,000 in damages, but in that case, the jury yesterday found that the plaintiff was 15% at fault for essentially not watching where she was going, not observing the cord, which is out and open, and found 10% fault on the county, 25% on the band, and 50% on Pro Healthcare. But under that verdict, we end up paying nothing because our negligence is less than the plaintiff's. Had that been reversed, and had it been 10% on the plaintiff and 15% on the county, our share of the liability in that case would have been $60,000, $70,000, but then limited by the statutory cap of $50,000. So we would have paid $50,000. My point here is that there's a lot of negotiation and evaluation on where is the jury going to come up here. Is the plaintiff going to be more at fault than the county? Is the plaintiff going to be able to prove negligence? Are they going to be able to prove notice? Are there issues of damages? And that's inherent every time we bring one of these kinds of personal injury cases to you for a settlement. This number of 25,000 is clearly a somewhere middle ground kind of position, so recognizing some risk on our part, but some risk on their part. And so long-winded explanation is that, you know, this is a negotiated settlement. It's not a recognition that we are at fault, and because if we thought we were clearly at fault, we had no chance of winning, the settlement number would be higher.
Sorry, yeah, real quick. I absolutely don't disagree with that. I mean, this is cheap. I mean, this is a good settlement for the county. I only talk about it in the context of, you know, it's, I guess, could it have been prevented if the county had, or the zoo, somebody at the zoo had seen this. The second question I had, it sort of ties in with what Mark just said on the pro-healthcare thing. Doesn't the Diabetes Association have to provide a bond or insurance as part of us allowing them to conduct a walk at the zoo? It seems like when I've been involved in a lot of charitable stuff over the year, we always had to get our own insurance and provide bonding if we were going to use somebody. And like, I'm sure pro-healthcare had to provide some bonding or insurance to the county in order to use this for their concert.
I don't believe that in this instance, and perhaps Mark can add something since he's been with the county considerably longer than I have, but in this particular instance, I don't think that there was any such an indemnification aspect. The other thing that I would mention is that were there an indemnification provision, I don't think in this case it would apply, because usually indemnification provisions apply to the negligence of the other party. If they've done something that could have potentially caused an injury or a problem. And in this case, I don't think there's any legitimate argument to be made that the Diabetes Foundation, in this instance, had anything to do with the damages that the plaintiff allegedly sustained. So if, for example, the Diabetes Foundation had been told, direct people in a certain path and make sure that they don't go in this area, and the Diabetes Foundation disregarded those instructions, people were wandering around somewhere they shouldn't have been and then were injured, then perhaps we're talking about a different scenario. But when there's no real negligence that could potentially be attributed to that other party, in my somewhat limited experience, those indemnification provisions would not necessarily protect the county anyway. I don't know if Mark has anything to add based on his experience.
Attorney Grady?
I can't answer the question about what the contract said here or if there was such a provision, but I do agree with what Jim just said, is that our standard indemnification language in our contracts, our service contracts, says essentially what he says. You're going to indemnify us for anything that you do wrong. I'm paraphrasing, obviously, but anything you do wrong. And so if they do something, they set up wrong, for example, in this case I just talked about, they had control over the band and they had control over the cords. We didn't place the cords. They do something wrong, then they're supposed to indemnify us for their negligence and hold us harmless. But they don't assume any responsibility with respect to things they don't control, like the sidewalk or the space next to the sidewalk. And so if they're directing traffic in the parking lot, I don't know that they would ever do that, but if they're directing traffic, that would be, and they cause an accident, that would be their responsibility. If they, you know, set up their event inappropriately, that's their responsibility. But they don't assume responsibility, for example, if something, you know, a piece fell off a building, that's still our responsibility. So, yeah.
All right. On the case in front of us, item 9, is there a motion? Motion for approval by Supervisor Stiskunas. Any further question or comment? Seeing none, motion is for adoption on item 9.
Supervisors Borkowski.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Weishan.
Aye.
Broderick.
Aye.
Rainey.
Aye.
Stiskunas.
Aye.
Mr. Chair.
Aye.
There are 7 ayes. The motion to approve and recommend for adoption prevails.
Thank you. Item 10, please.
Thank you.